are back on Canuck Central. It's Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio. This hour of Canuck Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza.
Pizza time.
Yeah, those $5 pints would have helped last night in the first period, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yes, sir.
Let's bring in our next guest. He joins us every single Thursday, Canucks and Sportsnet analyst. It is Landon Ferraro. Thanks for this, Landon. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, guys. How you doing?
We're doing all right. Got to say, like, how many U.S. Thanksgivings did you spend in the U.S.? Was it a good day for you as a player, getting to enjoy a day off, if it were, while the rest of the world watches football?
Yeah, I mean, it's the best part of being down there. Well, not the best, but definitely one of them is you get two Thanksgivings. You always got American and Canadian you got going through the year. So anytime you get to double up that meal, you're good to go. But I mean, the bad part of being in the minors on top of being in the minors is you played a lot on these days.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Jam games in anywhere. They're not too concerned if football's going on.
Yeah, I can imagine that they'll have the turkey day at the rink on in the AHL for sure. All right, so things are going not great for the Vancouver Canucks, and the injury crisis has grown even further with Filip Hronek now out for a significant period of time. We're not sure exactly how long just yet, but we know it's going to be a while. It doesn't come at a time where the Canucks really need to lose a defenseman, considering how this year has gone so far.
Yeah, I mean, I would also just think, even if there weren't any forwards out or Demko out, like, just taking Hronek out of that defensive unit is going to be a massive hit regardless. And now you add all the rest of it onto it, and like it gets really lean really quick. You know, if it was more a bit, you know, how things were moving last year in the sense of, you know, Myers and Soucy were like that really steady pair that you could really rely on, they would soften the blow a little bit more again. But again, like, things just aren't clicking the way they are. Yeah. So like, this is just kind of just stacking bad news on top of bad news right now.
Yeah, and we were talking in the first segment, Landon, about like how do you go about, you know, figuring this out until Hronek comes back and until you make a move, and we know that's not easy. All you have to work with is the guys you have, right? Friedman is coming up, but there isn't a perfect pairing right now, I think, when you look at it. It's like you can put Desharnais with Hughes, perhaps Myers with Hughes. Mike in the Valley was texting in and saying the underlying numbers for Myers and Hughes were pretty similar to Hronek and Hughes playing together. You look at the sample the last few years, and I can understand the point as far as some of the shot metrics, but what Hronek and Hughes could do playing the big minutes they played and how they could dominate play, can that be replicated with anybody else currently on the roster? And to expect that, I think, might be a bit too much.
To expect it, I think, is too much. To be able to do it for at least a certain amount of time, I think it can be done. You know, things need to go right. I'm not saying that it'll be easy to do that. But the one thing that Canucks with the D have been doing already because of circumstances is that they have been rotating around quite a bit. So, like, you could see, you know, Myers as an example is the guy that goes with Quinn. But then, you know, do you also need to give him all those extra minutes right now? Like, could you slip in another defenseman here or there a couple times a period? Like, share the wealth a little bit and try and find, you know, something a little more sturdy. But at the same time, it doesn't need to be filled by one guy. Like, it can really kind of be spread out a bit and kind of just try and spread that load through the whole decor.
Yeah, and, you know, we've seen Hughes and Juulsen play together a lot of times, or maybe earlier before they had Hronek. It was kind of just, you know, find somebody who can keep it simple, make the short pass to Hughes and let him do a lot of the work. But we've seen, and I think this gets underrated with Hronek's game, is he's been able to unlock a higher level from Hughes because, you know, I mean, the more good players you can get on the ice, it tends to result in mostly good things, right?
Yeah, and I would say, like, to that point, how many times have you seen, you know, like, Hughes getting the puck up top, you know, he makes that move to the right, back down the wall, And now before you know it, he's below the hash marks again. Yeah. And he gets a good shot on net, but like he can't do any of that if he's not trusting his other guy behind him. And the amount that Hronek, the way that he can skate, especially, like he covers distance and he's able to hold those angles really well to be able to buy time for his forwards to get back, or Quinn, because he's fast as heck too. Like he just needs that extra little bit of second to where he can get back into position as well. But like, without Hronek doing that, Quinn doesn't feel as comfortable. So it definitely one plays into the next. But, you know, the thing that Canucks do have is they have some, you know, they have size on defense. So if they can find, you know, Myers, again, makes the most sense to where he is simple with the puck and he would know, and he's understanding, he's a veteran, he's been around a long time of, okay, if I'm with Quinn, like, I'm really playing center field here. Like, the other four can move around, but I'm sitting back and making sure I'm kind of that big safety net. Because at the end of the day, like, he doesn't have to be perfect. He needs to have good angles and buy time while kind of pushing the puck to one side.
Yeah. And I think when you look at, let's say they do that, for instance, right? It allows an opportunity for Brännström, who's done a bit better recently. Can he play, I want to say an elevated role, but can he take a bigger role as far as responsibilities, even defensively? Because I think he's going to be forced to playing some more defensive starts than he has so far this season.
Yeah, and I think he can do it. I think he's just, he's also one of those players, and I think he's done a very good job of it, but he's a puck-moving defenseman that's still trying to figure it out for himself. So, like, you're going to have to be okay with sometimes, you know, I had a play last night where he gets it in the right corner, and he has a bit of time, but he just flips it. And it doesn't get out. Like, that's going to happen from time to time. But I think as he gets more comfortable with more minutes or more, you know, kind of demand from him, from the coach, like, I think he'll be able to figure it out. Because, again, like, it all comes back to skating, and he can skate. So when he does make a mistake, he generally can get back into position quicker. So, like, that's someone that understands the game. But you're going to have to be okay with some of the extras as well.
So the other part of last night was Artur Shilov's. And after the game, Rick Tocchet, the quote that everybody focused in on, it seemed like everything they shot went in. Never a good sign for the goalie when the coach says something like that. And I don't think Tocchet meant to completely, take the hook off how the team defended in front of Shilov's, but...
Talk about the gifts they gave up.
Yeah,
too,
they gave up some gifts, but you know, when you let in the first shot of the game and four of the first 10 shots, you know, you also, as a coach, I'm sure you feel like you do need the goalie to make a big save to keep your team in the game.
Yeah, I mean, on almost all of the goals, you can find a defensive breakdown that you're like, if that got done, this doesn't get here. But at the end of the day, it's hockey. Mistakes happen. Mm-hmm. It's going to get there. You need to be able to make a save once in a while on ones where they're not expected. But I would say, and I know I'm not the only one, the majority of them last night, they're not expected to go in. They're like, those are supposed to be, as the guys, as Rust is releasing his shot from the top of the circle, as he gets pushed out a bit wider, like, that's a shot where you're sitting on the bench and you don't even really think about it. You kind of go grab a drink of water because you're like, oh yeah, that's going into his glove and it's a whistle. And then it ends up in the net. Like the first one, he's so active when the puck's coming from the point and he slides so far to his right that now he's got to sell out to get back. And it somehow ends up all the way back to the other side again. Like it just, it's not comfortable. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not like you guys said, like it's not to take away the defensive side that, you know, even on Hayes's goal, like Malkin gets the puck moved into the middle there. Like there's guys standing around that could probably take Hayes's stick away.
Yeah.
Like if they really get into his spot, now that's not even a shot on net. But again, they miss it. It happens. Shilov's has got to be big enough in his stature that it just hits him and not even half where he has to make a save.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. And you know, it's kind of funny because it seems like the conversations around the team, not to say they've been negative, but they've been very concerning, right? Because the home record has been poor, right? They've had the injuries. They've had some poor performances from key players, but they're doing fine in the standings. They haven't really lost any ground. They're in a decent position so far. And if you compare a lot of their underlying numbers, pretty similar to last year at the same time too. But I think we all know that they're not defending quite as well as they were last year. And you talked about just the goals there the other night. What do you think is the reason why they've had so much trouble truly playing to their identity so far this year and having it as consistent as they had it last year?
I would say because there's been zero consistency this year. And I don't mean in their play. I mean in their roster, in the talk around the team. Like you said, as you're kind of leading into that question, like it's just been one thing into the next. Yeah, like there hasn't been constant, like, and then we say constant, like even a week of happiness, of just like straight talk where things are moving well. Like there's always something else that's popped up here. So like, as much as you have to, you know, in the room and everyone in the media talking about the team saying, you know, just need to be professional, it's next man up, like it's all the right things to say. But at a certain point, like, man, that's heavy on your team. And the fact that they've been able to keep this moving to where that's actually been pretty good is like, it just, it's honestly, it's very impressive that they've been able to keep this up, because like we were saying, like there's just been nothing. The only consistency is the inconsistency right now.
Yeah, and you think about some of the results, like the games that they've played really well in. The LA game, they followed that up with the Edmonton game, and that was a big loss. Then they respond, they play well against Calgary, they follow up that game with the game against the Islanders, where they just completely as a team laid an egg. Even recently, you know, they go into Ottawa, they have one of the most fun games of the season, really, with Hughes out for most of that game, play really well, maybe their best defensive identity performance all season long, and they follow it up with Kevin Lankinen and having to steal them a game. It just it feels like they can't really string, I don't want to say that they haven't strung two really good performances together. That California trip was pretty good, but you know, it feels like we just haven't been able to see them really build on some of their good performances, and a lot of that is to do with the roster, I guess.
Yeah, and I would say to that is that like it's not easy, but it's, you know, in a sense, it's easy to really get yourself ready, you know, going into that Boston game, like, hey, like, this is going to be really tough. Like, you know, we need to be at our best, all those things. Like, you get through that game, and that was, as well as it was defensively, like, that's a tiring, hard game that they played. Yeah. And then you got to go back the next night, and, like, it's hard to get yourself to that level where you're trying to play over top of your ability or over top of what you should be on the team. Like to be able to do that night in and night out while all the, you know, call it the third line that's supposed to be the fourth line and like all these things, like,
yeah,
if they were doing that consistently before, they wouldn't be in that position, right? So like you're asking so many guys to be like literally A plus games every single night to give yourself a chance right now as you're filling holes.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, and you go from, it was the issue where the forwards with their injury, so now you're going to get those back. Hopefully Besser's back, Joshua hopefully finding his legs again, and then you have hopefully Miller back when they come back, hopefully pretty soon as well. But now you're going to be without Hronek. So it seems like you can't get any real consistency either with your defense and your forwards, and how is that going to impact your overall team play? But I think one of the positives, and I think we can talk about this, is we mentioned how earlier in the year there's a lot of questions around Elias Pettersson, and he had a two-point performance last night. Not to say he was amazing, but you know, he's now picked up 6 points in his last four games, and you know, considering the amount of criticism that he was under and considering people talk about a bottom line, are we seeing the player provide enough offensively, especially with how much they've had out of the lineup recently?
I feel like he's pretty much right there. Like he has the puck on his tape consistently, not, I was going to say in the offensive zone, but like more importantly, he has it exiting the D zone. He has it through the neutral zone. He's confident. He's holding on to it again. Like he's making plays, and he's, well, I mean, that hit he laid in the middle of the ice the other night was pretty big too, right? Like that's like the hockey IQ to be able to pull that off, because he knows exactly where he's going. But again, like I don't feel like a month ago he would have made that hit. And now it's not even a question. Like he's dialed back into the game, and you can see how it's starting to spread through the rest of him, obviously his line, but through the team here. That, you know, we say, you know, Miller and Besser were out before. I mean, we can kind of say that Pettersson was out for the first part of the first, you know, 10 games of the season. So like when these guys are back, it'll be the first time that they've had like their core up front actually in the lineup playing, hopefully they're all their best hockey at that point. And once you get those three in, like those are two or three really solid 200-foot guys. I'm talking Besser and Miller and Pettersson here. Like if you guys have all them back now, like that can help the defensive struggles that as they're going to try and figure out how this is going to work as well. Like those are really good attention to details guys.
So Nils Höglander's become a part of the discussion again. And last night he was the low forward as far as ice time goes, just over 9 minutes. The other night he played just 7 minutes against the Boston Bruins. What are you seeing in Höglander's game, and what is it that the coach just isn't really trusting with Höglander right now?
I would say, like, I mean, the hard thing that I find watching him is, like, his effort is always there. And usually when a guy's not, you know, things aren't going for him, he's stopped moving his feet or, you know, it's just kind of things like that. But, like, he's all over the puck all the time, but it doesn't erase, you know, leading into the game last night where he's taken a penalty in each game. He's, you know, been scored on, I want to say, was it all of them or just two of them while he was in there? Like, you know, things start to add up. And when you're already, you know, I think, what was it, 2 weeks ago, Talkin was saying that, you know, this is on both of us. Like, I need to find him some ice as well. Well, the fact that the ice has gone the other way is just showing that once a guy's kind of already in the doghouse, now every turnover, every little penalty, anything that pops up is so much more magnified, whether it's fair or not. Like, he's been given a lot of opportunity to really stick himself really in the top six and then into the third. Like, he's got a chance everywhere, and it just has not, he hasn't been able to grab it to the point where he can get consistent ice.
And it's funny because you go through the games. You're right. He does a lot of positive things. He does help drive play, and the numbers look positive too when you dig through them. But he does make some critical mistakes pretty much every game at bad spots. And there was one play the other night against the Bruins where he made a great play along the boards in his own zone, stole the puck from a defender, and then instead of either, you know, throwing it back to a defenseman he had some space behind, or even bumping it up to a teammate 4 feet away from him, or even just chipping the puck out of the zone, he tries to do a drag move on the Boston player who steals the puck, and then they end up spending another 30 seconds. It's stuff like that. I think, you know, the coach just, to your point, you're not playing well, and then you do something like that late in a game, it's going to be hard for him to trust you again.
And that's an issue with a younger player that knows that he's in the doghouse. Like, I've been in that position where you have that, literally exactly what you're saying. And in that split second where you have a decision of where your next play is going to go, like, it goes through your head, like, well, if I just get it by this one guy, now I can make something really happen, and this can be my chance. Like, it honestly, like, it goes through your head fast, and it takes a lot of discipline, and honestly, just being through some things and being, you know, a bit more of a veteran, knowing that, you know what, the better play is just to dump it off here or put it back. Now I can get through the middle, get open again. Like, that's showing that you're in the game and understanding it. The other way is, like, God, I hope this, if this gets through, now I'm okay. And it's a dangerous way to play.
Landon, we always appreciate the time and the insights. Thanks for this.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
There is Landon Ferraro joining us here on Canucks Central, and he joins us every single Thursday here on the program. You know, last night at least, you know, Nils can say he was a plus one. You know, he was on the ice for the Ratu goal.
So. Yeah, and honestly, last night I thought he was good.
Yeah.
Höglander was good last night, and there was no issues with his game.
You got to stack those games together, though.
Yeah, and rebuild, re-earn some of that trust, right? And even on the goal that Ratu scored, Sasson gets a lot of credit because he closed down and he deflected the puck and then flash screen as well on the Ratu shot. But with him on the forecheck was Höglander. Both guys forechecked and created that turnover from the Pens that led to the Ratu goal. So I thought he played well last night. Stack it together, get a bit more opportunity. I just understand why the coach hasn't trusted him.
Yeah.
And to Landon's point, he got a chance. Like throughout training camp,
yeah,
he was playing in the top six. The mm-hmm. first 10 games of the year, he played in the top six.
Yep.
And even though he got sent down after a few games, got another chance. But since then, it's kind of steadily gone down. He's playing. He was averaging 14 and a half minutes almost through the first 10 games.
I mean, Joshua's been out. Was out for the first month and a half of the season.
Yeah.
Like there's your opportunity to take some minutes and earn some minutes. And he didn't.
Yeah, and now do I also agree that can they use him up the lineup a bit more at times? Like, I do think with Besser back, I don't mind. Hey, why don't you try to get him on the line with Besser from time to time and get him on the second power play unit? I just don't think he's done enough to be a top six left wing for this team so far. But I do agree with utilizing him a bit more than they have so far if they can get his confidence up a bit.
It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. Since the Canucks are playing an early game tomorrow, we are going to have a Mailbag Friday here on a Thursday, as Sat and I won't be together tomorrow. It'll be Sat and Bick for pregame, and then Josh and I will be taking the post-postgame show tomorrow after the Canucks and Sabres.
Yeah, well, I guess the post-post show is at like 4:30?
Yeah.
So it's not so late.
It's just kind of a regular show.
Yeah. But it's still post-post. It is a post. I mean, both things are true.
Yes.
Multiple things can be true at the same time.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, we talked about it. We're like, you guys can do the mailbag tomorrow too, but the show might be truncated. So
we'll still have Yannick.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, we'll see.
4:30 X.
But yes, we'll have lots to analyze with the Canucks and Sabres. But more importantly, means we're taking your questions next here on Canucks Central. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah on Sportsnet 650.
Discussing the biggest stories that matter to Vancouver sports fans. Halford and Brough in the morning. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Riccio here on Canucks Central. We now welcome in Victoria's very own WWE superstar. It is Chelsea Green. Thanks for this, Chelsea. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I am great. I actually, this is my first day off in, gosh, like, I think 20 days on the road. So it's really, really good to just be home and relax and, you know, chat with you.
That's awesome. We're still putting you to work, though, as you are here talking with us.
You know
about.
I love talking. Talking. I'm here with a coffee in Florida. Like, I'm good.
Okay. Yeah. There could be worse places to be than that, with a nice little coffee and some sunshine. Although you know, the sun is out a little bit here up in the lower mainland. It's a little chilly for Vancouver, as you would know. How does one from Victoria get the itch to become a professional wrestler?
You know what? I never thought in my wildest dreams that this is where I would be. I truly didn't. I have gone through so many lifetimes on this planet. I have been a bartender. I worked for Stampede, for Cowboys. I was a personal trainer in Vancouver, downtown at the Steve Nash Gym. I have kind of done it all. And I just happened to, when I was living in Calgary, Alberta, I happened to fall into wrestling, and I thought maybe it would be like just a fun little creative outlet, a fun little hobby. Little did I know I'd be doing it for 10 years. I mean, I'm on literally year 10 right now of professional wrestling.
It's it is pretty wild, and it can be. I mean, just looking through your story and hearing about you through the years, I haven't been as in tune with wrestling as I was when I was younger, but I remember you from Tough Enough, and it's kind of funny how professional wrestling can mimic maybe a player's journey to the NHL. Like, it is such a long road to get to the top, and you've got there, and you know, reading through your story, it's been a long journey. I mean, how has that journey been for you to the big time?
Well, you know, I do like to compare it to trying to get to the NHL, except for that, remember, you know, okay, how many teams are there in the NHL?
32.
There's 32 teams. And how many players per team?
There's 23 on every roster.
Okay, so now keep in mind, we have one NHL team. We've got WWE.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's it. And then on there, we've probably got 30 women. So you are looking at hundreds of thousands of people who want to be a professional wrestler, and maybe 30 women make it. I mean, it's the odds are totally stacked against you, but just like any other sport, if you want to do something, you're going to do it. And you know, it's been 10 years. I've lived in a million different countries. I have wrestled all over the world, in Mexico, Australia, Japan, Saudi Arabia, India. I've broken my nose 4 times, my cheekbone, my collarbone, my arm 3 times. But at the end of the day, like, this is why I do it. For moments like this coming up where I wrestle for my dream company, I can, you know, take care of my family, I'm building my dream home, I married my dream man, and I'm gonna go and be in Vancouver for a massive, massive premium live event for WWE. What? That is such a full circle moment for me.
It's so cool. And, you know, when I heard Survivor Series War Games was going to be on the card and coming here to Rogers Arena, I was like, man, that's a pretty big event. We haven't had a ton of big events in Vancouver wrestling wise through the years. I know SmackDown was here last January, and you were playing the heel in front of the hometown crowd. Is that not like the most, when I was a kid and pretending to be a wrestler, it would be like, I always wanted to be the heel, you know, because that to me was like the funnest part of the whole gig, is you get to be the nasty side of you at times, right?
Well, it is, you know, it's like when you step into a character. I mean, I always had fun stepping into a villain character and a villain role and playing that bad guy. I mean, there are also, you know, the other half that obviously like to be the hero. They like to be the good guy. They like to get cheered. But for me, there's something so authentic about talking honestly, just being nasty and saying the thoughts that, you know, you never actually let come to the surface, and you can kind of play with that as a heel in wrestling. And I have so much fun doing it. I mean, I'm going to fear for the day where I have to be the good guy.
the viral promo you cut, that you traded in the rain of Vancouver and Victoria for the sunshine of Florida. It was
for
great, and relating it to Roberto Luongo of all things too.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not gonna lie, it was hard to say that. It was hard to say that stuff. You know, I knew that, like, the owner of the Canucks was there. I knew that there were so many Canucks fans in that building. I knew that my friends and family are Canucks fans. So it was, I'm not going to lie, that one was hard to say. But the reaction from the crowd and the enormous amount of boos, that's what makes me really proud. You know, that's what gives me that kind of like adrenaline rush. So it's worth it, but it's still hard. You know, the mayor of Vancouver asked me, Ken Sims the other day, are you going to say bad things about Vancouver again? I'm like, oh dear God, I hope not.
Well, you know, it comes over, and anybody it's such a great way to get the crowd going in this sort of a setting. And for so many wrestlers, like, I love hearing how you found your character. Now you fight under your name. So is your character sort of an exaggerated version of yourself?
I think if you ask my mom, she would say, absolutely. If you ask me, I will deny it until I die that is not my character. I would never be that bratty. But I think the fun thing about my character is that I've always tried to play a relatable character, in the sense that, yes, I may look extremely over the top and exaggerated, but we all know someone that's like this character. We all know a Karen. We all know an angry mom, or some annoying uncle or aunt that comes to your family dinner, or, you know, an in-law. And that's where I kind of get my ideas for this character. I get it from everyone else who gives me stories and gives me ideas and inspires me to kind of push the boundaries. So it's really fun.
We saw you at Rogers Arena a couple of weeks ago, watching the Canucks and the Blackhawks. How big of a Canucks fan are you?
So I was a ride or die Canucks fan all throughout high school and college. And then, of course, moving away, I've been living in America now for 8 years. And being in Orlando, we don't have a team. The closest team is the Lightning. And I've always stuck with my Canucks. So I've never really gone to any of the other games and I haven't been home. So this year has been the first year where I was able to kind of like jump back, and last year, jump back on the bandwagon. And I'm close with the guys that work at Fanatics. So they've been really kind. They send me updated jerseys. They get Quinn to, you know, sign a Canucks jersey for my birthday. And I like now that the WWE world knows that I'm Canadian and knows that I'm a Canucks fan and knows that I'm from Vancouver Island, it's nice to play into that. So I like to, you know, make that Canucks gear and represent now.
You know, the cool part just seeing what you're up to right now, and that's challenging for the U.S. title. And, you know, as a Canadian, like, there's a short list of Canadians that won a U.S. title on the men's side. It would be pretty cool to be able to rock that honor yourself, wouldn't it?
It really would be. I mean, just the things that the women have done in the past 10 years for professional wrestling has been really incredible. They've really shattered a lot of glass ceilings. And so to be able to even be in this tournament for the first ever Women's United States Championship is really incredible. But then to be able to say that I'm the winner, you know, to be a Canadian winning a United States Championship would be an honor, really an honor. And there's so many things, of course, my creative side of my brain wheels get turning, and I'm thinking of all the things that I could do before I've even won a championship. But I think it would be really amazing to be the inaugural champion and then be able to bring it back to, you know, Vancouver and Vancouver Island.
Bret Hart, Edge, Chelsea Green. Sounds like a pretty cool list to be a part of potentially. So yeah, fits right in. Absolutely. I love that. It's War Games this weekend at Rogers Arena, Survivor Series War Games, massive event. You know, it's two rings together, steel cage around it. I can only imagine the kind of bumps that we're going to be seeing on Saturday night at Rogers. As a performer, as a wrestler, when you go into those big matches, I saw some of the highlights from the Money in the Bank match you had earlier this year. Is it nerve-wracking knowing you're going into those big spots and, you know, a bump is probably coming your way in one of those matches, a big fall or something like that?
Well, the thing with Survivor Series War Games is it's really one of a kind in the sense that we cannot train for that. We don't have two rings put together with a steel cage around it. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not something you can prepare for. So all you can do is physically prepare your body the best you can and mentally and emotionally prepare yourself for kind of the fear and the nerves that creep in on the day of and seeing the monstrosity that is Survivor Series War Games. So going into it, you know, we're always excited, nervous, but we're ready. I think that's the thing with WWE and with wrestling. You just stay ready. And of course, with me, it's a little bit different because I was a stunt woman in Canada. I did do stunts. So it's I'm sure a little bit easier for me to put that fear aside and just get into that, put on my kind of performer shoes and get out there. But I think this week and this weekend is going to be one for the books. I don't even know. I couldn't even imagine the things that the women, and I talk about the women because obviously I am very much connected to this women's match with it being Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley. I can only imagine the things that these women are going to pull off, and my butt is going to be seated watching that match. I mean, there's a part of me that hopes that, you know, maybe someone has to bail and I can fill in.
Okay.
We're not going to put that into the universe. We're going to be positive. We're going to be kind. And I'm very, very excited for the stunts that we're going to see and kind of the history-making moves that we'll see off this cage.
Yeah, there would be nothing better than be able to see you rock it in your hometown or home province at Survivor Series War Games this weekend. It's going to be an incredible event. I can't wait for it. I know a lot of people around town here in the Lower Mainland and the surrounding areas are really hyped for it as well. Chelsea, this has been an absolute blast. Thanks so much for this today.
Thank you for having me. And if you haven't got your tickets, you know, there's still time left. Go get your tickets because this truly is going to be the beginning of our road to WrestleMania. So you don't want to miss it.
That was Chelsea Green, WWE superstar and BC girl, joining us here on Canucks Central. Still a big Canucks fan. You love to see it.
Yeah, it was a really good chat you had with her, and she's super excited about the season. She has some good. She's pretty enthusiastic. I've seen her at the games too. She was at the game before they headed out on the road.
Yeah,
trip.
She was recently at Rogers Arena. You know, she's good. Gets to play the role of heel. Love that.
Yeah.
As I said in the interview, I would love to be able to play heel. When I was trying to be a wrestler as a kid, you know,
you tried to be a wrestler.
No, I didn't actually try. Pretended.
You mean just at home jumping off the bed?
Yeah. Okay. That kind of a thing. Okay. Always wanted to be the heel. Playing the bad guy. You know. Play to the mean side of your brain. You know, that's the way to go. And I can't wait to be there on Saturday night.
Yeah,
it's going to be
fun
at Rogers Arena.
I'm excited, man. I'm excited. Like, I haven't watched wrestling as closely the last bit. I try to watch WrestleMania every year. But this is my first actual live WWE event.
Oh, it's wild.
And I grew up being a WWF fan growing up with wrestling. So I'm super excited to actually go to an event.
We hope The Rock is there. I'll say that.
Bro. It'd be great.
The crowd pop would just be absolutely insane. And it's War Games. Two rings put together with a cage around it. There's going to be some massive bumps that happen on Saturday night. I can't wait for it. It's going to be a lot of fun at Rogers Arena. Thanks to Chelsea Green. Thanks to our producers of this fine program, Zach and Josh, my co-host Sat. I'm Dan. You've been listening to Canuck Central.